Do you want to go down there?
Yeah, go for it. Yeah, if that's what you're comfortable with. Absolutely.
Okay, so this is Liana, and we're so pleased that she's here this morning. And as we continue on in our series of the Kingdom of God, Liana is going to be sharing her perspective through missions,
awesome.
Which is so exciting. So welcome.
Thank
God bless.
Much. Amen. Thank you. Amen. Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Cornerstone Church. Wow. Hey, first of all, thank you so much for Pastor Amanda and Pastor Lloyd for inviting me here this morning. Such an honor to come and such a privilege to come and share the Word of God. And I just really want to say thank you so much to our awesome worship team. How good is God's presence? Amen. How good is God's presence? And you know what? It's so wonderful to come together and to worship God in one spirit and one accord, lift up the name of Jesus, and allow ourselves to just be immersed in the presence and the goodness of a merciful and loving God. Amen. He is full of love, unconditional love for every single one of us. And there was a moment there where in worship, like, man, just keep soaking, just keep adoring Him, just keep on being in the Spirit and the presence of God. But there's nothing that beats God's presence. Amen. And God's Word, which is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And thank you to Liz and to Danny also for sharing this morning. Super courageous. And really know that God is already speaking to hearts. I know that it's my first time in your church. Whoop, whoop.
Yeah.
What's up? My name's Liana. I am a pastor from Taumaru Reach Church in the Waikato. Don't be hating, just love. But the Waikato has lots of love. And I know our church is praying right now. Our ministry team have been praying as well. And you know, it takes courage. Amen. It takes courage to seek the kingdom of God. It takes courage to follow Jesus Christ. Amen. It takes courage and boldness to come and declare the goodness of God. It takes courage to shave your head. Far out. It takes courage to move past disappointment and back into relationship with Christ, back into the comfort of the Holy Spirit. And you know, I just really want to come this morning. And the word that I have for you, I know that your theme is seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And what? All these things shall be added unto you. Amen. And so I do have a message. It's going to be a different type of message as well. But really, what I want to do is just share a little bit about the God story that God has done in my life first. But then I know that God has got a prophetic word for you as individuals, but also for your church. And I know that He's going to speak powerfully to every single one of us as our hearts are open and before Him. Amen? Amen. And you know what? I believe that, like I said, it takes courage. Amen? Courage to follow Him and courage to take the next step. Yeah? You guys awake?
Yeah.
I know I talk pretty fast and I'm pretty out there. It's pretty awesome. But you know what? I just want to pray first of all and then we're going to get right into it. Amen? So why don't you join me in prayer? Father, I want to thank you, Lord God, that, Lord, you've ordained this day. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I want to thank you, Lord God, for open doors in this season. I want to thank you, Lord, for bringing light in the midst of darkness and you're drawing people from darkness into your marvelous light. I want to thank you, Lord God, that you're breathing hope and life into dead dreams and, Lord, they're going to be resurrected by the power of Jesus Christ again. Because, Lord, your word fulfills what you send it forth to do, Lord God. And we want to thank you, Lord, for your amazing love. That, Lord, without your love, Lord God, we would be lost. And without you, Lord Jesus, there wouldn't be hope. So, Father, I want to thank you, Lord God, for all that you're doing, all that you're going to do, Father, Lord, in our lives and in this season. Father, we thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're here in this place. We commit our time to you right now. In the wonderful and mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen and amen and amen. Everyone say, have courage to step forward. Amen. Say it again. Have courage to step forward. Praise God. You know what? For my story, I just want to share a little bit about my about myself, so you kind of get to know me a little bit instead of this random standing up and preaching. But hey, I didn't grow up in a Christian church. I didn't actually grow up in church. I didn't become a Christian until I was 22 years of age. And you know, everything about that was when you're in the world and you do different things, that was me. But I want to tell you a little bit about my testimony and a little bit about the journey, because God's plans and His promises for us are always unfolding. Amen? We can never know what is going to happen at the end if we don't take the first step. That's true? Amen. And so when I was 22 years of age, I went over to Australia, and my auntie was living there, and it was a time I went over there, and you know, I had kind of left New Zealand because I was really disappointed. I had set all my hearts and hopes and that to get into a photography program and didn't quite make it, failed to get into the program. And so I was so distraught. And so I thought, you know what? I'm going to go to Australia where my auntie is. And I'm just going to go over there. I'm going to go to Melbourne. I'm going to go party up. I'm going to go live a life and all this kind of stuff. And I remember sitting around with my friends before about to go and to head off overseas, and my friends are kind of like, oh, you know, where are you going? I was like, oh, going to my auntie's house, and she's a Christian, but I'm not going to become a Christian. And they're like, yeah, you're not going to become a Christian. Who wants to be a Christian? And, you know, we kind of sit around and drinking and all that kind of stuff, and my auntie picked me up from the airport, and she lived in Bendigo, not Melbourne, which I didn't quite realize. So Bendigo was an hour and a half out of Melbourne. And so she picked me up, and we're driving towards Bendigo, and the lights of Melbourne City, the vibrant city, just went dimmer and dimmer and dimmer till pitch black. And we ended up in Bendigo, and Bendigo is probably about four times the size of Waiuku. Yeah? Don't worry, TA's smaller than Waiuku. And so we went to Bendigo, and I was meant to be there for 2 weeks. Okay? And I went there, and I remember it was about halfway through it, and I just remember, I'm like, man, I remember one time I went to church with my mate, but that was just crazy. And so I was thinking to myself, I want to ask my auntie a question. So I said to her, what's up with people speaking in tongues? Great question to answer, eh? And I was like, what's up with that? And she was like, you know what? There's someone coming, and you should come along to the meeting and find out for yourself. Long story short, it was Friday the 13th. Stormy as, we're looking for this church, and I remember looking on top of the hill, all the cousins are fighting in the back of the van, my auntie's getting hoha, which means annoyed and Māori. She goes, we're just about to turn this van around, and I said, because we couldn't find the church, I remember looking up on top of the hill, and I saw this big wooden rugged cross, and I said, look auntie, I can see a cross, the church must be on top of this hill. So she goes, oh cool, so we went up there, parked up, and the church was right there. You know what, for the whole time this preacher preached, I didn't understand a word the dude said. Didn't understand a thing. But at the end of it, he said, why don't you turn to the person next to you and ask them if you know the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when my auntie turned to me, and I turned to her, and I looked at her, and I looked into her eyes, and it wasn't her looking back at me, but it was these eyes of absolute pure love looking at me. And it was something that when I looked and I saw this pure love, this love that just captivated my heart, this love that just stood straight into me, and I had this knowing that it was God, that God, you love me. Me, Lord, I've mucked up, I've done so many mistakes, I've fallen so short, but yet you love me for who I am, not what I've done or what I haven't done, but God, you just love me. And there was a check in my spirit, there was something in my spirit that said, God, you love me, but I don't even know who you are. And you know, the guy, the preacher said, you know, if anyone wants to give their life to Jesus, why don't you come down to the front and receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior? I had dreadlocks, long dreadlocks. I had my Dr. Martin boots on. I had my flares rocking out. Okay, remember it was 99-ish, okay? And I just remember coming out of my seat and running to the front of the altar. The church was packed. There was more than 500 people. You know, only three of us gave our life to Jesus Christ that night. And you know what, I remember waking up the next morning and looking out and seeing, man, the sky is bluer, the grass is greener, the birds sound way more amazing. And I went out to my aunt and said, what is up with this? And she said, it's because you've been born again. And you know, from that very moment that I gave my heart to Jesus, everything was delivered from my life. God delivered me out of drugs. God delivered me out of alcohol. God delivered me out of bondage and into His marvelous light. And I've never looked back. And from that moment, I've just held on to Jesus. And I want to encourage you, no matter what season or what you're going through, hold on to Jesus, because Jesus will see you through and Jesus will always get you through. Amen. As long as we put our hand in His hand, He will lead us all of the way. Friday the 13th. Had to be. And you know, growing up, I didn't even know what a pastor was. There was no way to even know what the heck a pastor was. And so I just applied myself. Instead of a two-week holiday, I stayed for 6 years. Got involved in the church, applied myself to the teachings of God, got involved in youth ministry, done communion even though I was petrified. I just stepped out and gave it a go. You know, and just served and just surrendered to God and just submitted myself and just stepped in obedience, and God led me through. You know, doing youth ministry in Australia, we went back to the church I was saved in, which was an AOG church. Whoop, whoop. Awesome. But we went to one called Abundant Life with Kiwi pastors. Whoop, whoop. And I remember going back to the church where I was saved, and we were after the youth meeting, I was just like, hey, where's your father's cross? And they're like, what? I'm like, where's your big wooden cross? Like, that was on the corner of the hill, your church. It was like a big wooden rugged cross. And they're like, we've never had a cross at our church. You know, God has a funny way of getting our attention. Amen. And He will stop us in our tracks. And He will connect with us. Amen. When our heart is seeking Him, when our heart is for Him, when we want to question something and seek after God, He will always answer us. Amen. Long story short, like I said, I came back to New Zealand because I believe God was calling me home to Te Awamutu, of all places. But you know, in that time, God and my senior pastors there, Pastor Pam and Ariki Ashford, will also give their love to you this morning. They invited me to do my pastoral credentials. So I applied myself for 4 years, got ordained in 2009. And from that point, God started taking me onto missions. Because I knew when I first got saved, I said, Lord, I don't want to just be in church. I don't want to just sit in a seat and then go home. Lord, I want to be a part of your kingdom, man. I want to advance the kingdom of God. And so God spoke to me and gave me a couple of life scriptures. It was to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, and to help guide their feet into the way of peace. And in Luke 4:18-19, for the Spirit of the Lord is upon me and upon you to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to set the captives free, to give liberty to those who are oppressed, recovery of sight to blind, amen, and make the lame walk. Proclaim the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when I came back and I knew that God had put missions in my heart, I just started. And really what I want to share with you this morning is just start. It's just take a step. When you seek first the kingdom of God, it requires action. Amen. And we're not going to have it all figured out. You never are. When you do, wow, give me your number. Because I have no idea. But I've got some pictures that I brought with me. If you want to show the first one, if that's cool. I want to take you on a journey, because I know that God wants to speak to you, because sometimes we see the end product and we don't really know what God's up to. But you know, right now, I've been serving in our missions for Assemblies of God New Zealand, and God started taking me on the mission field in 2005. And that as well, I've gone all over the place. So this one here is Indonesia. I didn't have a clue what I was doing, but we had a team that went over and just to bless the orphanages at Mount Hope, because we were sowing financially to them. And that bottom one there, doing kapa haka. Never really done kapa haka until I was like in intermediate school. But you know what? It's about stepping out and having a go. The next one there. Is after that, God took me to India a couple of times. But this picture here, power cut. But that picture there was in Kenya with the Maasai people. Amen? And so the Maasai people and that were there. We had a team of about 9 ladies went across from Tamaru Reach Church, which was just nuts in itself. But it was an awesome time. So we spent 2 weeks with the Maasai people in the Rift Valley. Then after that, it's when God really started to move, I guess, in my life, as I went to Uganda. So jump in there. All right, we went to Uganda. You know, God has a funny way of bringing his plan into fulfillment in our lives. Because I want to tell you something. When I was a little kid, when I was about 9 or 10, I remember looking through this magazine, flicking through the pages, and I remember seeing this city. The city in a photo in this magazine, and it was just a city, and it had a little bit of grass, and I looked at it as a kid and thinking, I'm going to live there one day. I'm going to live there one day. I don't even know where Kampala is, but I'm going to live there one day. We flew to Uganda. And when I stepped off the plane and I put my foot on the ground, it was like I felt like I was home. It felt like I was home. And I didn't realize that the capital city of Uganda is Kampala. But you know what? When God speaks and has a dream in our lives and puts a dream in our heart, he will bring it to pass when we step out and do what he's calling us to do. Amen. And to follow him. And from that time forward, I've been back and forth from Uganda about 6 or 7 times and just serving. This is Jackie and Hillary Tumasimi, which they also give their love. I know that they've been here before, so they knew I was coming. So they're like, tell them we said hi. Give our greetings. So I've been partnering with them since that time. And just constantly going back and serving in their ministry. The next photo there is a medical project that we got involved in. The funny thing is that when I lived in Australia for those 6 years instead of a 2-week holiday, the job and the trade that God gave me was to be a pharmacy dispensary technician. I didn't know that God was going to use it on the mission field at the time, a few years later. But God, in God, there nothing is wasted. Amen. The next one there was also the medical project. Just starting with what you have and doing what God's called you to do, stepping out in obedience. And then the next one. The other projects there we got involved in was also the school ministry, the local projects, and that as well, and just partnership with the local churches, just helping to be a blessing in whatever way we could. And then the following one is that one. But I'll explain this one a little bit further on. But you know, it wasn't until 2014, I was going backwards and forth, and we're sitting down and Pastor Jackie said to me, you know, you've been coming all this time and just serving and just, you know, giving to the ministry and just applying yourselves, but with that one there, what has God put in your heart? What is the dream that God has put in your heart? And I remember looking at her in the lounge and just kind of a bit hesitant of sharing my dream and what I believe that God actually put in my heart to do, because there was a big fear there that, you're right, are you really going to do this? There was a big fear and a big hesitation that I'm going to get laughed at and that there's going to be ridicule and just a judgment like, you can't do that. You can't do that. You're dreaming. There's no way you can do that. And you know, and then because of the trust that I trusted in here, and I share with her, you know what? What's really on my heart is to start a school. Is to always start a school and to give quality education for children in impoverished areas. And she looked at me, she goes, let's do it. I go, let's do what? And she's like, let's start a school. I was like, are you kidding me? Are you for real? She's like, I'm serious. Let's start a school. She goes, but you know what? What we need is someone with a master's degree. So when you go home, just get your master's degree, then come back and we'll set up the school. Awesome. That was 2015. So I come home, applied myself for a double master's, a master's in Indigenous education, and also a master's in educational leadership. And I finished one master's, graduated this year, and on my last paper for my second master's. Amen. And it's only by God's grace
because I know that he's given a dream, and I know that he's given a word, and I just held on for dear life. I just held on for dear life. Because there's going to be all sorts of obstacles that come your way when you start to seek first the kingdom of God. You just got to hold on for dear life and stand on the revelation that God gives. Amen. So the plan is at this particular stage is to finish that last paper, hand it in, graduate next year, and head back around March to start our school project in our primary school, which is going to be called Hallelujah Primary School. Amen. Hallelujah Primary School. And that name is not a random name, because anywhere you go in Uganda, you can go to hairdressers and be called like this. It'd be like, glory to God on heaven and earth, hairdressing salon. It's a Christian nation. Everything glorifies God. You go into the supermarket, they're playing Hillsong. So Hallelujah Primary School is not out of the ordinary. Amen. But that came from my little four-year-old niece. I said, baby, you know, what name should we give our primary school that God wants to do in Africa? She thought about it on her way to church. Hallelujah. 4. Why do you think hallelujah means? Well, God wants children to learn. And he wants children to know who he is. And so when we know Jesus, we have joy. And we can say hallelujah. A four-year-old. I wrote it down. Amen. But you know, God has a funny way of bringing things together. I just shared you guys some snippets of a 16-year journey. There was no way I knew what God was going to do in my life at the start. But all I had to step out on was just what he told me for that time. And sometimes when God speaks to us and says, Liana, I put a dream in your heart. Now I want you to step out into it. But God, where's the money going to come from? God, where's the help going to come from? God, where are we going to build this church? Liana, I brought you back to New Zealand to do your double masters. You do what I've called you to do, and then I'll show you the next step. And so many times we don't want to step out because we can't see the steps lined up. We can only see the step in front of us. And God says, that's all I want you to do. That's all I've called you to do is just take that next step. Take that first step and step forward. And when we do, when we come into that place, God says, awesome, now I've got the next step. And take the next step. And sometimes we're always waiting for God to move when God's always waiting for us to move. And it's all about taking that first step. You know, when I was doing my Masters of Education and Indigenous Studies, I always got the question, because I always talk about God, and I got the question, why do you go to Africa? Why don't you just do some work in New Zealand? It's like, I do. I teach in New Zealand, I help plant churches in New Zealand, I help pastor a church in New Zealand, I help my whānau and Ngāti Mahanga Haurua, which is my tribe and my iwi, and my whenua in Whatawhata and in Whangaroa. And they said, but when you go, don't you miss home? Of course! It's the hardest thing to do, is to leave home. But said, but something compels me to go. And I know it's the Spirit of God, but I just want to show you one thing before I really want to show you something else. And on the board, when I was doing my Indigenous studies, I learned about my whakapapa, or about my ancestors, my tūpuna. And Te Waiataia, he is the chief of Raglan, or Whangaroa, which is one of my lines, Ngāti Mahanga Haurua, and Chief Wata Kukatai, he was the rangatira of Port Waikato, which is also from one of my lines, Mena Kukatai. And you know, for being Ngāti Mahanga, we have a proverb. And for both of those chiefs, Māori chiefs, they were Christians. They were converted to Christianity. They went around and established churches out of ponga trees, dirt floor. And they also helped set up schools for both Māori and Pākehā children. I didn't know any of that. And it finally made sense. And there was an ancient proverb called Mahanga Whakarere Kai Whakarere Waka, which means Mahanga who abandoned food and canoes. Being from Ngati Mahanga descent, there was an ancient proverb given to the descendants of Mahanga because it was known that this person, Mahanga, had a roving disposition. And apparently he would set up the land and everything and have a family. And then he was known to just leave everything and go to another whenua, go to another land. And it said descendants of Mahanga have this characteristic that they will just leave everything and go somewhere else and start a project. And it was in that time when things finally made sense. Amen? That God made sense. You know, and it always takes faith. Because God knows what He is doing. And like I said, the kingdom of God, seeking that, requires action. And I want to tell you this, that when we do, God will always challenge your comfort zone. Amen? When we seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, God will always challenge our comfort zone. And I want you to turn to Mark chapter 3, verses 1 and 6. And I'm going to read it for you from the New King James Version. Amen. And it says this. Mark chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. It said, "And he entered the synagogue again," talking about Jesus, "and a man was there who had a withered or crippled hand. And it says, so they watched him closely, whether he would heal on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. And he said to them, to the man who had the crippled hand, step forward. Then he said to them who were watching, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they kept silent. And when he had looked around at them with anger, being grieved by the hardness of their hearts, he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored as whole as the other. Then the Pharisees went out and immediately plotted with the Herodians against him and how they might destroy him. You know, when God puts a dream in our heart and puts a calling in our heart and we step out, there's always going to be opposition. There's always going to be something trying to hold us back. But God challenges us in that moment, amen, to step out of our comfort zone and to stretch out towards Him. And the thing that I wanted us to see right here is this courage to step forward. The courage to step forward. Because this man who was in the synagogue that the Bible said had a withered or a crippled hand, according to the Pharisees, he wasn't even meant to be in there. He had no right being in there because they saw that as a fault of his parents because the parents had sin in his life. That's why he was like that. So they had labeled him, ridiculed him, downcast him, limited him and said, you're nothing but. You can't be in here because. And it said that the man was standing at the back. That he was trying to hide his hand. He was trying to pull away from the back because Jesus was there. He wanted to see what Jesus wanted to say. So he was in that place, despised the judgment and despised what other people thought of him. And when he thought that he was safe in the back and in his comfort zone, we could hear Jesus. Jesus looks at him. The one who had a defect, the one who everyone else had eliminated, the one who didn't even matter to other people, God looks at him and it says, you step forward. The man with the withered hand, step forward. And in that moment, that man had the courage, despite what people were hissing and saying to him and thinking about him, he had the courage to step forward. Even though he felt ashamed, he had the courage to step forward. Even though he didn't feel he was worthy, he had the courage to step forward. Why? Because Jesus called him. Amen. And Jesus is calling every single one of us. It's time in this season to get the past in the past and step forward. Why? Because I'm calling you. Yeah, but God, I don't think I can do it. Step forward. But God, I don't know what it's going to look like. Take your first step. But God, I'm not good enough. You're right, you're not. But all things are possible to God. Amen. And all things are possible with Him. And so God calls us to step forward. Despite what we feel, despite the barrier. Because here's the thing, we can't let a barrier stop us from coming to God that God Himself has already removed. Amen? The Bible says if the Son sets us free, then we are free indeed. So God calls this man from the back to the front. God calls this man with a withered, crippled hand. They look like he'd been fully eliminated, not even worthy for the cause, but God calls him and says, time for you to step forward. And despite everything, he takes the courage and he steps forward. And God says this, stretch out your hand. And the Bible says that as he stretched it out, it was completely restored. The willingness to step forward, the willingness to stretch out despite what we think, despite our own limitations. God said, if you're willing, I'm willing to perform a miracle. But God says this, that as you stretch, I will perform it. As you step out, I will meet you in that place. In that place, when we step out, we meet grace and we meet truth. You know, in that journey, I could have told you about the times when I cried. Could have told you about the times when I had doubt. Could have told you about the times when it was painful, the sacrifice, the cost, the laying of my own desires, my own agenda, my own will, and my own insecurities. And we're all going to feel like that and have felt like that. And our own disappointments. And sometimes we don't step forward because we are disappointed. Sometimes we don't step forward because we do think we're going to fail. But God says this, I call you forward because I know the calling that I've put in you, and because I know the calling I've put in you, I can call it out of you. Amen. And He says this, that obedience is our responsibility. The outcome is God. And I love the Bible, how it says this man, who wasn't even going to be in there, got called out by Jesus. And God performed a miracle in his life and through his life. And I know that in this season, is that God wants us to keep moving forward. God wants us to hold on to him, no matter what we're going through, to take courage, because he is with us. And he will strengthen us. And you know what? Everything, all of our journeys about seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, that all these things shall be added unto us, it's not a formula. It's not a formula. It's a relationship. And the relationship starts with love and ends in love. Amen. Why? Because he first loved me. And he first loved us. And love never fails. And I know that sometimes fear can hold us back, but God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Amen. And what I really want to do is I really want to pray. Because as I was preparing for this, I really felt that God indeed is calling people to step out. Calling people to step forward into what he's spoken to you about. And for some reason, if there's something holding you back, if there's something that is a barrier or anything, God says this. He says, I've set you free. I've redeemed you. I've restored you. I will meet with you. I will be your help. I will be your guide. I will provide you for you. I am all of your security. And I just really felt that there's always been things sometimes holding us back, whether it be fear, intimidation, disappointment, distractions, doubt, all those types of things. But God says, you know what? Step forward. And allow the past to stay in the past. Step forward. And allow those things to drop off you in Jesus' name. Step forward. And allow all those chains to be broken in the mighty name of Jesus. Because when He looks at us, amen, He sees His Son and He sees His righteousness. Hallelujah. I know that God is drawing and calling every single one of us to take a first step and to have the courage to step forward. Amen. Amen. I just love to pray for you as well. And then I'm just going to invite also ones who want prayer to the front. But just in this time, I just really want you just to be still. Just allow God to speak to your heart in your season where you are right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Father, Lord, I want to thank you that you're a good God. You're a faithful God. You're a merciful God. You're a grace abounding God, and you pour out your extravagant love upon every single one of us. And sometimes, God, we go through things and we think God is not working out because God is mad at us or something like that. But God's not mad at us. In fact, He's madly in love with us. And God, I want to thank you for your love. Your love that captivates us. Your love that holds us. Your love that lifts us up out of darkness into light. Your love, Lord God, that captivates our heart and holds on to us in the storms of life. I want to thank you that you're the light in the midst of darkness. Lord, and you breathe upon our lives in a freshness of your Spirit. That, Lord, I pray right now that, Father, for the ones, Lord God, who had a dream, they may have dropped their dream or may have been discouraged in their heart, that, Lord, you would breathe afresh upon their dream. That, God, you would pour out your Spirit again upon them anew and raise them up, oh God, that they would stand to their feet as an exceedingly great army of the living God. I want to thank you that there are no down and outs in the kingdom of God. There are only soldiers of righteousness, mighty women of God who have a two-edged sword in their hands. And Lord God, we thank you that as we call you, Lord, you will answer us, and that, Lord God, you will always run to our rescue. Father, I want to thank you, Lord God, now for ones, for whatever reason, Lord, they've received your word, but whatever it is, Lord God, they've been hesitant and fearful and intimidated to stepping out. But God, I pray right now that, Lord, you've not given them a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And I thank you, Lord, for broken chains, and to loose that thing, Lord God, right now of fear and intimidation, be broken off in the mighty name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, for chains that are falling to the ground right now. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that as people step out, their feet are free. Their feet are free, Lord God, to run and to leap and to praise God. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, right now, my God. Lord, for the ones, Almighty God, Father, Lord, who want to step out, but there's just been some things said, Lord, and just some judgment. Lord, and even as they look at themselves and said, who am I to do what God's called me to do? I'm nothing, but I can't because Lord, I pray right now that they'll grab a hold of truth and grace, which is Jesus. And that, Lord, you would breathe in them and teach them, Lord, their identity and worth as a child of God. That, Lord, they'll begin to believe what God has spoken about them more and louder than the voices around them. So, Father, I want to thank you, Lord God, that you are raising them up to be mighty men and women of God, valiant in battle. And so I thank you, Lord God, that as we have the courage to step forward, Lord, and to take the first step, that God, you would do abundantly and exceedingly above everything we ever ask, think, or imagine, according to the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, Father, I thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Church, if you feel like you're in that place, Lord God, I just want to return to you. Lord, I just want to draw closer to you. Lord, I just want to hear from you, Lord God. I just want to know, Father, what you want me to do. Father, I ask that you'd speak to them, Lord, in the shadow of the Almighty, and reveal to them, Lord God, great and wonderful things. I just want to pray. If you want prayer this morning, where it feels like you've either been wanting to step out, but things have been trying to hold you back, I want to pray for you. And I just want to invite you right now, either to lift your hand or to come to the front. Because every good gift from above is from God. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I don't want to leave here without giving you guys the opportunity to respond. Because our response determines our reward. And if that's you in that place, and you've identified somewhere in that altar call in terms of, Lord, I want to step out, Lord, I want to trust you, I want to hold on to you, Lord God. I just want you right now just to raise your hand, because I just want to pray for you. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. If there's things and areas in your life when God's been speaking, but you just feel fear or intimidation, or like it's going to paralyze you, I want you also to lift your hands, because God has not given us that spirit of terror or of fear. Amen. He's going to cut her off right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And for those who are stepping out and running with God, I just pray for you as well, that God will continue to sustain you and strengthen you in every leg of the journey. Father, I pray, Lord God, in our place this morning, Lord God, in Cornerstone Church, that Father, right now, for the ones with their hands raised, Lord Jesus, that Lord, you would meet them right now, Father God, right now where they are, Lord God. And Father, that Lord, you would bring them from that place, Lord, and you would bring them closer towards you, that Lord, you would draw them as they step out, that Father, Lord, you would run to them and encourage them and strengthen them, Father, Lord, to keep walking, keep pressing, keep moving forward. And so, Father, I thank you, Lord, that everything that's been trying to hold them back has been broken and cut off in Jesus' name. And we declare, Lord, the past is in the past. This is a new day. This is a new season. Good things are coming their way. So, Father, we release them into your hands and into your spirit. And we thank you, Lord, right now, Father God, that, Lord, as you draw them and as they take a step, that, Lord, you would meet them in that place, that you restore broken dreams. You restore, Father God, and, Lord, you would show them great and mighty things. And if they have the courage to step forward, that, Lord, you would do a miracle in them and through them for the glory of the living God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. If you're here this morning, our time's come to a close. But if you're here this morning, I wouldn't be standing here if someone didn't give me the opportunity to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. And maybe you're at that space where, man, you're like me. Man, I know God loves me, but I don't even know Him. If that's you this morning, I'd love to pray for you. And I'd love to introduce you and to start you in a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Is there anyone here this morning that you've never met Jesus before, but you said, Lord, today's the day. I'm done with the past. I want to step into the new, Lord. I want to know who you are for myself. And I want to receive Jesus Christ as Lord. Today is the day of salvation. If that's you in this place, you said, you know what? I've tried everything, but now I'm going to go for Jesus. I want Jesus to be Lord of my life. If that's you today, and you want to give your heart to the Lord, I'm just going to ask you right now just to put your hand up. You see, you know what? That's me. If I could do it in a crowd of 500 people with dreadlocks, Dr. Martens, thinking all sorts of things in my head, we can do it today. If there's anyone here who wants to receive Jesus Christ as Lord, I'm just going to ask everyone to close their eyes in this moment too, because it's for them as well, and just pray. But if you're in this place and you've never given your heart to Jesus Christ, today, let this day be the day of your salvation, and know that you're made right with God, that your sin is forgiven, have a relationship with a Heavenly Father, and know that when our time comes to an end on the physical, we're going to be called up to Him and live in eternity with Him. If that's you today, I'm just going to ask you real quick to slip your hand up, just signal to me right now. Amen. Thank you, bro. Awesome. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thanks, guys. Thanks, hon. Awesome, man. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You know, I'm just going to, don't be embarrassed, because we're all for you. What I want you to do is come meet me right here, up at the altar, because I want to pray with you personally. Amen. So I just want to say, come out from where you are. Hallelujah. Come stand in the front with me. Amen. Amen. I'll come get you. Awesome. Come here, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Did anyone else feel free to come on and slip on over and join with us? Amen. This is an awesome day, church. This is what we live for. Amen. This is the kingdom of God. Is that lost ones are coming home. Amen. The lost ones are coming into the relationship with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Right now, I'm just going to pray with you guys. I'm going to hand it back as well to Kate and Pastor Amanda, but I'm going to lead you guys in what we call a prayer of repentance. Amen. And what it is that it's a prayer that asks Jesus and invites Him to come into our life and into our hearts and make His home with us.